call the docket.
James Osborne against Virginia Department of Public Service Control, James J.O.P. Support, JLWF Newhouse, Mark R. Harris, Attorney General, Senator S. Cox, Acting Solicitor General, Matthew R. McGuire, Acting Deputy Solicitor General, James S. Meyer, Assistant Attorney General, Ryan S. Hardy, Assistant Attorney General, for the LLC.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Jay O'Keefe and I represent Nathan Osborne. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Right.
ABC fired Osborne for allegedly violating an ABC license applicant's Fourth Amendment rights by conducting a pre-scheduled investigation of the commercial premises listed in her application for an ABC license. The Court of Appeals upheld that termination, and that was a mistake for two reasons. First, as both Osborne and the ABC agree, the Court of Appeals misinterpreted the governing inspection statute, Code Section 4.1-204F. That alone compels reversal. Second, the Court of Appeals committed an independent error when it determined that Osborne's inspection exceeded the scope of SWIM's consent. I'll address these points in order. First, the Fourth Amendment generally allows warrantless searches of closely regulated industries when they're necessary to advance a substantial government interest, and they're conducted pursuant to a statute that provides a constitutionally adequate substitute for a warrant. Here, it's undisputed that Virginia's alcohol industry is a closely regulated industry, that the Commonwealth has a substantial interest in regulating the sale of alcoholic beverages, and that warrantless searches are necessary to further that inspection scheme. The parties in the Court of Appeals disagree, however, in their interpretation of the relevant code section 204F. The statute says, in pertinent part, that the ABC and its special agents, like Mr. Osborne, shall be allowed free access during reasonable hours to three categories of places for the purposes of examining and inspecting the places and the records that are located there. Now, those three categories of places are, first, every place in the Commonwealth where place is a statutorily defined term. Second, the premises of every wine shipper licensee and beer shipper licensee. And third, the premises of every delivery permittee wherever located where alcoholic beverages are manufactured, bottled, stored, offered for sale, or sold. The Court of Appeals read
but
this...
Does the concept of free access preclude either an applicant or a licensee from simply saying no?
It does, Your Honor.
Can they say no and there are consequences to saying no?
They can say no and there are consequences to saying no. Part of the ABC Act, Code Section 4.1-331, makes it a Class 1 misdemeanor for a licensee to deny access. So they could... The Court of Appeals read that statute to mean, in essence, that the applicant or licensee needs to grant consent to the search on a case-by-case basis, on pain of losing their license. But that's not really what the statute says. The statute doesn't vest them with the discretion to decline the inspection. It affirmatively criminalizes that conduct. What's more, the statute is part of the inspection regime for a closely regulated industry, and we know from the case law, going back at least to Biswell, that in a closely regulated industry, the legality of one of these warrantless searches doesn't turn on consent. It turns on the validity of the inspection statute.
The problem, of course, here is we're not simply trying to sync up the Fourth Amendment to the statutory scheme. We're really trying to understand literally what the scheme means. Tell us how the definitions of place and premises, tell us whether that definition affects your analysis, and if so, how.
It absolutely affects our analysis, Your Honor. If the statute just said every place in the Commonwealth without defining place, that would be incredibly overbroad, and this would not put licensees and applicants on notice that their premises might be inspected pursuant to the regime. But that's not what it says. The ABC Act defines place to mean basically the real estate identified in an ABC license application as the place where alcohol shall be manufactured, stored, or sold. And so that is a very narrow definition. It says to an applicant or a licensee that the place you're designating in this application that you submit to us, you know, to enter into a closely regulated industry, will be subject to search. And it's not overbroad. It says literally the place where you're going to be manufacturing or selling alcohol. That's what the ABC wants to look at, and that's what this statute gives it the authority to inspect. And that also puts every ABC applicant in the Commonwealth on notice that the premises identified in the application as the place where alcohol shall be manufactured or sold is going to be subject to inspection by ABC agents.
Is inspection and search, do you think those words mean the same thing?
In this context, I think they do, Your Honor. I think that the inspection authority that the statute grants clearly contemplates what Mr. Osborne did. And that's borne out by some of the evidence that was put on at the hearing, in particular ABC's operations manual, OM03, which the Court of Appeals relied on to determine the scope of SWIM's consent. And that operations manual tells agents, like Mr. Osborne, what they're going to do when they conduct one of these site inspections. And so the Court of Appeals seized on some language that says, before a license is issued, the agent should conduct a site visit to ensure a sufficient quantity of qualifying items. And the manual does say that, but it says a lot more. It says that it's the policy of the Bureau of Law Enforcement to conduct a detailed and thorough investigations of all persons and locations for ABC licenses, and that's okay, and it's not very specific. But then it gets really specific. It tells agents like Osborne to verify and obtain current monthly sales, less sales tax, and inventory cost figures of qualifying items as well as alcoholic beverages, if applicable. That's JA 350. Those are the documents, the sort of documents that you'd expect to see.
Right, but when you obtain those, do you obtain them by saying, let me see your documents, or do you just like, well, I'm just going to search through everything, you know? Well, it might be in, you know, your wife's purse. I don't know where it is. Let me just rifle through everything and see if I can find these documents.
So in the broad run of cases, you would want to take the first option. And indeed here, you know, Ms. Swim did submit an application with supporting documentation. The problem in this case is that ABC's concern is that she's not being truthful in her sworn statements in the license application, and she's not providing them complete information about the ownership of the company. And they were concerned about that for a variety of reasons, all of which are borne out by the record. So when you find yourself in that position where you've asked for documents from the applicant, you're concerned that the applicant's not being truthful, the statute gives you the authority to go in and to check behind them.
But the statute could also be interpreted as a much lesser sanction, which is, all right, I'm not comfortable with your application, denied. Next. I mean, why isn't that the more reasonable understanding of the scheme? That either it doesn't apply to applicants at all, or the Court of Appeals view, which is, no, it applies to applicants perhaps, but it really doesn't mean you can search them. It just means you can ask for the opportunity to search, and if they don't give it to you, then you deny the application.
Well, Your Honor, I think that the statute does give ABC the discretion to deny the application, but I think it also gives them the authority to conduct the search. It gives them options less than the death penalty in that situation. It does give them the authority to search, and that was a reasonable policy decision for the General Assembly to make.
If the ABC, citing unspecified, unsubstantiated concerns, just denies the application, could they be brought to court saying, hey, this is arbitrary and capricious because you just had some vague concern about the ownership, you never approved it, and now you denied my license?
I think that's right, Your Honor. I think they could. And I think also if they want to deny the license in this process, I think what they do is file an objection at the hearing so all the evidence is going to come out. So that's an excellent point. They are somewhat constrained by the administrative review process there.
Well, in that particular instance, if there's suspicion about a particular thing, like, for instance, ownership, why would you ask for documents concerning ownership? And they either give them to you or they don't. If they don't give them to you, you deny the license. If they do, it would reveal who the true owners of the business are.
Well, I think, Your Honor, they did ask while they were at the site for those documents, and they also looked in the back office for them.
Right. And so if they ask for the documents and the person says they don't have them, that would be a reason to deny their license.
Well, and the specific problem here is that the applicant has a set of documents that they've tendered to the ABC that shows that Ms. Swim is the 100% owner. They have reason to believe, and they developed evidence to show that, for whatever reason, those documents aren't accurate. So the problem here is that they've got a set of documents, including the sworn ABC application, that they have reason to believe is incorrect.
Well, why would you think, if there are documents to show that's incorrect, that they'd be kept on premises? I mean, quite honestly, you would think if you were really trying to hide it, the last place in the world you keep the documents to show what you're telling is a lie is at the place where the people are going to inspect.
And yet, in this case, Your Honor, that's where they found some evidence supporting their concerns about the ownership. So it worked out for them. That is where some of the documents
were. So it's the needle in the haystack. Go ahead.
The fact that they found it doesn't get over the hurdle of whether the statute and the Constitution were violated as they found it. I have no objection to them being able to obtain these documents. The question is, how do you go about obtaining these documents? And to just simply go in and start rifling through papers is the problem. What in the statute allows you to just simply to say, okay, this provides consent, so therefore I am going to walk right in and I'm just going to start looking through papers? I mean, is there any other regulatory regime that you can think of that allows that to be done for an administrative license?
Your Honor, 2 points in response to that. If you want the statutory hook that gives them authority, I think it is the language in 204F that says the board and its agents shall be given free access to every place in the Commonwealth where place means the real estate designated in an application. So once you submit that application, and again, ABC's manuals consider part one of that application to be an application for an investigation. When you submit that application for an investigation to ABC, when you schedule the site visit with ABC agents, inviting them into your premises.
Okay, let's stop right there. What is it that requires, based upon your interpretation, why do they even have to schedule the meeting? Why don't they just walk right on in, hold it up, and say, I'm walking into your office, and you're out of here for the next 3 hours because I'm going to look through every single paper in this office because I don't believe your application. Based upon your interpretation, what prevents them from doing that?
Your Honor, I think that nothing in the statute requires the visit to be scheduled in advance. The Rutenberg case from the Fourth Circuit was an unscheduled visit and a search of a licensee, not an applicant's back office, and the Fourth Circuit upheld that. Osborne is on much stronger footing here because not only was this particular inspection scheduled in advance, but Mr. Osborne had conducted earlier inspections at a different location than this one.
I understand the facts. I'm testing your interpretation of
sure.
it. That's what bothers me, is that for an administrative proceeding, in order to obtain a license, walking in with no notice whatsoever and looking through every single piece of paper in that office. Under your interpretation, they could do that. They could spend days looking through every piece of paper in the office solely to determine, have you told the truth on your application? Isn't that going a little far?
Your Honor, I think that is the authority that the General Assembly gave the ABC. The question of whether ABC is theoretically capable of abusing that authority is a separate question, but I don't think it renders the initial grant of the authority inherently unreasonable.
Let's step back one step, because the Commonwealth says that this statute that you refer to does not apply to applicants. It only applies to people who have gotten through the process and are licensees. So all of this that troubles many of us on the scope of an actual inspection and search, as you call it, we skip the whole issue of whether or not it applies to an applicant anyway. And I note within the first minute or so of your argument, you added a word to the statute. You said it applied to places where alcoholic beverages are going to be manufactured, bottled, stored. That's not what the statute says. It says it applies to places where alcoholic beverages are manufactured, bottled, stored, etc. Well, only licensees can manufacture, bottle, store, and offer for sale alcoholic beverages. So right there, the language of the statute appears to exclude applicants. That's their position. And I know you added that word to the statute.
Your Honor, that was when I was citing to Code Section 4.1-100 that says shall be stored. The point there was that the definition of place is shall be future tense. I agree that in 204F it says are manufactured, stored. 4.1-100 is shall
so
be
what
stored.
You do is you juxtapose place to actually inform who this statute applies to. And that's how you get to the applicant.
Yes, Your Honor, two ways. One, we use the statutory definition of place from 4.1-100, the definition section, in 4.1-204. And then second, the language, the modifier that ABC is latching on to, the where alcohol shall be manufactured, sold, bottled, or stored. Under the rule of the last antecedent, that's going to apply to the closest antecedent clause, and that is not every place in the Commonwealth, so it doesn't limit the grant as to applicants. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
All right. I'm sure we'll hear from the Commonwealth on your interpretation.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Matt McGuire on behalf of the Virginia Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control. The Court of Appeals reached the right result in this case, affirming Mr. Osborne's termination because he violated an ABC applicant's Fourth Amendment rights by inspecting her business office without a warrant or her consent. The Court reached that result on an incorrect legal basis, holding that ABC agents must obtain consent on a case-by-case basis before searching an ABC licensee, a holder of an ABC license, under Code Section 4.1-204, subsection F. That interpretation is inconsistent with the statutory text and as well as the heavily regulated industry exception to the Fourth Amendment. I think it's helpful to understand the case really based on two questions, which is sort of when is a warrantless search permitted under Code Section 4.1-204, subsection F? And the second point is, was Osborne's warrantless search in this case of an applicant permissible under the Fourth Amendment?
Can I ask you this? It seems as though the definitional section 4.1-100, place or premises, it speaks very broadly, place where beverages shall be performed, the sale shall be performed, the place designated in the application. If you take it literally, why doesn't it apply to applicants? Whether it was intended that way, whether it's ever been used that way, if you just take it literally, why wouldn't the average reader say, yeah, well, you don't have it yet, but you put it in the application, this is what you intend to do in the future?
Several responses, Justice Kelsey. The first being that, first is the history of the statute shows that that interpretation is not what the General Assembly ever intended. It's not legislative history as much as just the historical pedigree of the statute.
I don't know that I would disagree with that, but we start with the text.
But more importantly, if we start with the text under their interpretation of the statute, what it leads to is sort of multiple absurd results in a variety of ways. The first
is... Okay, so that, again, follow through what you're saying. I first want to say to myself, what is it saying? I can decide later whether it's really absurd or unintended for some other canon of construction, but literally, what does 4.1-100 mean when it says place or premises? Does it literally purport to mean the place or premise of an applicant?
The way 4.1-100 is written is it runs to the application. Well, really, it runs to the real estate designated in the application,
right,
which is sort of how once you move from that point, that what they're talking about is every place, every piece of real estate is what their definition would sweep into the search requirement or the search permission under code sections.
Okay, does it literally apply to every piece of real estate of an applicant as well as a licensee or a permittee, or only a licensee or a permittee? And if so, textually, why?
So... two responses. Under the definitional phrase, it applies to all. Under Code Section 4.1-204F, you still have to understand the words in the context of the whole statute. And the statute says...
I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but did you just say what I think you just said, which is 4.1-100, place or premises, is broad enough to encompass the place or premise of an applicant?
It says that, Your Honor. It says it defines it as the real estate designated in an application to go about selling, manufacturing, bottling, storing, distributing alcohol. The reason why that can't be what the General Assembly meant in Code Section 4.1-204F is it would render the remainder of the statute superfluous because it would cover everything else. It would cover every wine shipper licensee, beer shipper licensee, every delivery permittee, wherever located. And it's not legislative history to look.
Why would it cover wherever located when place is limited to the Commonwealth? It seemed, and I think they made the argument, that wherever located might reach them outside of the Commonwealth.
That's right, Justice Powell. I misspoke. It would cover everything except the wherever located part, because it would cover everything inside the Commonwealth. But I do think it's very important to just look historically at how this statutory scheme developed. The General Assembly in 1934 enacted this act in essentially the same form textually as it applies to licensees. The 1934 Act provided that the board and agents, quote, shall at all times be allowed free access during business hours to every place in this state where alcoholic beverages are manufactured, bottled, stored, offered for sale, or sold. And that same text carries through every iteration of the Act when it has been amended from then until now. It was recodified in 1993 to be part of Title 4.1. Then in 2003, they added to the statute the phrase involving to the premises of every wine shipper licensee and beer shipper licensee wherever located, in response to a decision from this court that made clear that they needed to allow for those sorts of licensees.
Can the Fourth Amendment tolerate the conclusion that a person who files an application for a license immediately loses the Fourth Amendment right prior to actually obtaining the license? Because the whole concept of the highly regulated industry exception is the quid pro quo is you're getting something and giving something up. You're getting the right to do something you don't otherwise have the legal right to do, but you're giving up Fourth Amendment protections. Well, an applicant hasn't gotten the right yet. They may never get the right, but yet they still give it up, the Fourth Amendment?
No, Your Honor, that's exactly the point. The reason why there is a heavily regulated industry exception to the Fourth Amendment is because you are actually participating in that industry.
Do we have case law that says on this point, an applicant. So you're making a voluntary decision, hey, I want to be part of this. I want to be included in this closely regulated industry. So I'm going to file this application. But the cost is, under the statute, as petitioner argues, is that you have waived certain rights. And the statute carves out a residence, which is at the apex of Fourth Amendment protection. So is there authority from the Supreme Court or elsewhere that an applicant can't forfeit the right to search the business premises?
Two responses, Justice McCullough. First, an applicant, as part of the process, the General Assembly could say to get the application, you consent to this search. And so you apply.
That's what we're trying to decide.
But his definition goes much further than that. It's not a one-time search as part of the application process. Under his definition of place, if you incorporate that for 4.1100, it doesn't run with the application. It runs with the premises, the land itself. So forever, essentially, under this statute, under how he would interpret it, that piece of real estate has waived Fourth Amendment protections against searches under that code section. And that doesn't really make any sense, but that's how Title 4.1100 addresses the issue. And so that it sort of, when you put all of this together, you
but
come back
it
to
it sort of sounds like what you're saying is 4.1100 does apply to applicants, applies to, and doesn't require consent. And if it means that, it's probably unconstitutional.
Well, that was part of my answer, Justice Kelsey, to come back to your earlier question, was eventually adopting his interpretation raises serious constitutional concerns about the statute. The better way to
read it. And what I'm getting at, and I haven't heard any authority yet, but even if there isn't any, it may be that the canon of constitutional doubt comes into play, because that would be a pretty darn sweeping a conception of the Fourth Amendment, that by merely applying and you haven't gotten the benefit of the license, then you've forfeited a fairly granular type of search of your business premises just by virtue of the application.
In order to have a case fall within the closely regulated industry exception to the Fourth Amendment, which is what it is, it's not as if the ABC said, in exchange for providing an application for a license, you have to let us come search your premises and look through all of the records of your business. This is a statutorily provided mechanism where the ABC agents can show up at any time of day that's reasonable and search for this material. And it doesn't fit the closely regulated industry exception because there isn't the substantial government interest under the regulatory scheme for that inspection because the person's not actually participating in the industry. And it's not necessary to further this scheme because, again, they're not participating in the industry yet.
But it is in a situation where they're a complete stranger to the industry because they're trying to get in. And so they're, you know, it's a little more nuanced than someone who's entirely outside the industry.
Well, that sort of goes back, again, Justice McCullough, to what I think the ABC could say as part of the application process, we are going to inspect all of your business records. That's different than a general statutory provision that says we may come at any time and multiple times every day, potentially to search through your business records again. It's sort of a different grain of that. But ultimately, once you're part of the regulated industry, you fit within the exception. Mr. Osborne cites a couple of cases in his reply brief where he purports to show how the exception applies to non-licensees. But in both of those cases, the relevant business was engaged in the regulated activity.
So in light of the sort of broad application of place or premises, and the very legitimate argument of constitutional avoidance, would the statute then be read to not apply to applicants or to apply to applicants but limit it for the purpose of examining and inspecting such place and all records?
Justice Powell, I think the best interpretation of the statute is it does not apply to applicants at all. It's to read every place in the Commonwealth with the qualifier in the statute where alcoholic beverages are manufactured, bottled, stored, offered for sale, or sold, as the statute was originally written in 1934, and as that text has always carried through. The General Assembly has amended it in a few very specific ways, including adding, most recently, every delivery permittee. And they inserted that phrase before wherever located, whereas wherever located came in with every beer shipper licensee and wine shipper licensee.
Okay, so let's carry that through. And what, and if we disagree and say that it does apply to applicants, because there are at least two aspects which would point in that direction. Number one, it applies to applicants from out of state. In the second sentence that we're looking at. And second of all, 4.1.100 is worded in a fashion that indicates that the definition of place is worded in such a fashion that it easily could apply to applicants. So let's walk through that. If the statute applies to applicants, do we affirm?
The statute applies to applicants. Do you affirm? You would affirm in this case because it couldn't be constitutionally applied to applicants in the statute the way it is without some sort of consent. And
okay.
So
yeah.
If that's the case, then you would need affirmative consent.
Yeah.
The problem with that interpretation, Justice Mims, is it's very difficult to then say how 204F applies differently to licensees than to applicants because the statute itself doesn't distinguish between the two. But licensees have always, but the General Assembly has always intended to treat them as and include them as part of the heavily regulated exception to the warrant requirement. And as ABC pointed out on brief, it hampers significantly ABC's ability to monitor actual ABC licensees if they're required on a case-by-case basis to obtain affirmative consent. And so if you can say that 204F applies to applicants as well as licensees, it's difficult to see how you could say, well, for an applicant you need consent, unless I guess you could narrow the statute to say, in that case, say that constitutionally you need consent, but you don't need a licensee.
That's exactly where I'm going. What if the statute was complied with because it applies to applicants, yet there is a constitutional violation? So in other words, the safe harbor that the highly regulated industry doctrine provides did not apply in this particular situation. Is that possible?
It is possible in a sense, Justice Mims. I think you would have to adopt an authoritative narrowing construction of the statute that would say something to the effect of it applies to applicants, but you would need affirmative consent under the statute on a case-by-case basis to conduct the search of an applicant to pass constitutional muster. But in that case,
well, saying perhaps it doesn't pass constitutional. Perhaps this particular instance does not pass constitutional muster.
But then in every case,
as applied rather than.
But then it'd be difficult to see how it would be different for a different applicant who didn't actually consent. The only fact of relevance, it seems to me to be there, is that she didn't consent in this case. And if a person consents to a search, the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply.
There's no doubt she didn't consent.
Correct. And so, and then positing of the statute, what you're saying is in any case where an applicant doesn't consent, you can't constitutionally search under 204F. Which that's just sort of a blanket rule about the statute.
No, perhaps you can constitutionally consent if you have already received your license because of the safe harbor, the highly regulated industry safe harbor. But that in fact, if it's an applicant, it would have to be treated differently. That's what I'm struggling with. You essentially have a four-box matrix that's created by the statute and the Constitution. And we have not examined each one of those. So go ahead.
Well, I just can say, Justice Sims, I think ultimately what everybody's trying to struggle with is how do you fit 204F into a constitutional box to preserve what the General Assembly wanted to do, which is to subject ABC licensees as a condition of their license. They're presumed to consent to these searches. And as opposing counsel mentioned, there's a misdemeanor violation for a licensee to refuse that search.
So really we only have two options from your perspective. We either say you limit the target of the search to just licensees and eliminate the applicants as a potential target, or we allow both to be targets, but we dumb down the search to where it's not a search anymore. It's just a consensual request.
That's right, Justice Kelsey. And once it's a consensual request, the closely regulated industry exception doesn't matter anymore. It's either a consensual request and you actually consent, and then that excuses you from the Fourth Amendment concerns. The purpose of the closely regulated industry exception is that you don't need the consent, that as a condition of the license in this case, the business who's operating under the auspices of the ABC as allows them to come in and conduct a reasonable time, place, manner search of their business records.
So we have confusing statutory texts. We fall back on canons of construction. One is, well, you'll render the whole search provision pretty much irrelevant because you don't need a statute to authorize a search that's consensual. And or two, no, it means what it's always been understood to say. You can have a non-consensual search. You just can't do it with applicants. And the constitutional avoidance principle requires it.
May I answer?
Absolutely.
Justice Kelsey, I think that's exactly right. The Court of Appeals decision in this case essentially says you just need consent. There isn't. The ABC licensees don't fall within the closely regulated industry exception. Our position is that they do, but applicants do not under 204 subsection.
Is it at all important to your argument that the misdemeanor provisions for failure to allow the inspection only apply to licensees and not to applicants?
I think it bolsters the argument, Mr. Chief Justice, because it shows that 204F is targeting licensees and the misdemeanor piece focuses also on licensees. It's further indicative of what the intent of the General Assembly was with 204F.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. O'Keefe, you do have a little bit of time left.
Thank you, Your Honor. Very quickly on the point of consent, you could find on this record that Swim did consent to the search. The Court of Appeals found that she consented to a search, but this search exceeded the consent. The record shows that Osborne had previously conducted at least one inspection with her, that he did exactly the same way he did this one. So when she signed up for the same search and he conducted the same search, that could be read as consent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Your time has expired. Call the next case.